Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Kopran Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from B&K Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, good morning, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 and nine-month FY25 earnings conference call of Kopran Limited. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of Kopran today, we have with us Mr. Surendra Somani, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Sanjay Doshi, Group Advisor. I now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, post which we'll open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
A very good morning to all our investor friends. I welcome you to the investor call for Q3 FY25. During the Q3, the consolidated operational performance improved quarter on quarter, though the net profits were impacted by forex losses due to mark-to-market accounting. The revenue from operations was rupees 166.24 crores for Q3, as against rupees 151.56 crores for Q2, a growth of 9.6% quarter on quarter. The EBITDA for Q3 improved from rupees 14.74 crores to rupees 22.91 crores in Q3. The margins also improved from 9.7% to 13.78%. The net profit improved from rupees 7.38 crores for Q2 to rupees 10.4 crores in Q3. This is despite forex losses of rupees 3.07 crores in Q3, as against forex gains of rupees 0.85 crores in Q2. Moving to our business pillars, formulations. The revenue during the quarter marginally declined to rupees 72.68 crores from rupees 74.65 crores quarter on quarter. However, EBITDA margins improved, and we made an EBITDA of rupees 11.4 crores in Q3, as compared to rupees 9.69 crores in Q2. The percentage margins improved to 15.85%, as compared to 13.17% in Q2, registering a healthy growth in the operations of Q3. We have been engaged in various CMO projects for 15 dosage forms and CDMO projects for 11 dosage forms, which are either completed or near completion and focused for the regulated markets. Further, CMO projects for 8 dosage forms and CDMO projects for 10 dosage forms are under development, again, for the regulated markets. Coming to our other business pillar, the active pharmaceutical ingredients, API. The environment in the API industry remains challenging overall. The company has taken effective steps to grow the business as also improve operational efficiency. We believe the worst is behind us in this segment, and we are seeing a gradual recovery in the API business. We achieved a growth in the revenue to achieve rupees 95.25 crores in quarter three, compared to rupees 79.15 crores in quarter two, which is a healthy growth of 20% quarter on quarter. The operating margins have also improved, and we achieved an EBITDA of rupees 10.99 crores in quarter three, as against 4.45 crore rupees in quarter two, which is a significant increase. The EBITDA margin in quarter three was 11.57% as against 5.76% in quarter two, which is almost double when you compare the quarters. We look forward to a healthy growth in the near future, as also additional revenues from Panoli in the coming year. Thank you once again for spending your valuable time, especially on a Saturday. I now hand over for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Somani. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Thank you. And at the beginning of the year, when you were doing the budgeting and planning for F25, the current fiscal that is, there were certain expectations in terms of sales, margins, cash flows, etc. And there were certain assumptions that about the external environment, certain assumptions about how the product pricing, how the competition from China will pan out, so on and so forth. Please illustrate the factors excluding forex losses that proceeded as planned in line with your expectations, and the unforeseen challenges that you were not aware of when you were doing the budgeting and planning. That is my first question. Thank you.
Sir, as I have already mentioned in our previous call and the current call, the basic assumption was that the prices of meropenem and other penems would be settled down, but we saw not only in Penang, but generally across the API industry, the Chinese bringing down prices. So if we really analyze, quantitatively we have grown quite significantly. But in terms of revenue in rupees, we have not been able to grow proportionately since prices were under pressure in the last 9 months. That is the major challenge we have faced.
I think I would say few of the products which we envisage were stable and turned out to be as we envisaged. But there were challenges as far as meropenem and azithromycin are concerned, which where the prices fall beyond what we expected. We expected by Q2 it should stabilize, but there is still continuous downward trend there. And as far as new products are concerned, the decline in prices, both raw material as well as finished goods, was steeper than what we expected. Though, as far as formulations are concerned, I think we did well than what we expected in terms of margin trend.
Yeah, that's helpful. So if I'm your Chinese competitor following you, what I will do for F26 will be, I will increase the raw material prices further and I will reduce the formulation prices further so that I report losses in China, but I don't care about my P&L, I don't care about my return on capital employed because I'm getting state funding and state sponsorship, but I want Gopuram to go bankrupt. So how will you adjust to that kind of a scenario?
Sir, let me clarify. Formulations cannot come into the country because they are not registered and would not be able to register. If you see imports of formulations, the government has kept that very tight and the regulatory process is very difficult. So whichever formulations are being made in India, the government does not allow them to be registered or marketed. All across. It is not just for finance. It is all across. So while your assumption theoretically is right, but in reality it will not work because the formulations won't come here.
And that is correct, Mr. Somani, for India. But I can sell my formulations in Africa. I can sell my formulations outside US or wherever possible, which means that 70 to 80% of the population globally is within my control because I am Chinese and I am controlling all that I want to control. Yes, China and US are one or two markets I don't control, but there is a large space where Gopuram is operating where I can go and damage our positioning.
Coming to your this observation, if we see what China is playing around in the world, basically what you said they are doing for amoxicillin. They are doing in antibiotics where volumes are very large. And they are controlling the entire chain of KSMs to raw material. To counter that, we have effectively, last year we have faced that in amoxicillin, but we have grown in other products, other markets, and our emphasis on CMOs and CDMOs for last 2 years is basically to insulate ourselves from the threat which you observed. And as you can see, last year we did much better in spite of all those factors. China's threat is there definitely in commodity, large volume products such as amoxicillin. So what we have done is we have gone beyond amoxicillin and emphasized on amoxiclav to counter that threat. And develop or grow other products where Chinese threats are not there. Simultaneously, enter into CMO and CDMO for regulated markets to insulate ourselves from that. And as a result, our performance in formulations is much better than previously.
So let me add one more thing for your clarification. While I do say that API industry is affected by China, there needs to be an understanding that it is primarily the fermentation-based products. So yes, fermentation-based products all over especially non-regulated markets, the Chinese do come to play. Fortunately, meropenem is not a fermentation-based product. It is just a question of overcapacity, where India also is going backward. So in the long run, we don't see China as a threat as far as our product range is concerned. I hope I'm
That's able. Helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's definitely helpful. My other question was regarding our generic CMO projects that you briefly alluded to in your opening statement. How big can this segment become in next 3 years, and what hurdles do you see in scaling up this segment from Panoli and other facilities? I understand we will not be able to secure US FDA approval for Panoli in the foreseeable future. What I mean by foreseeable future is anywhere between 3 to 5 years, because that is the normal process for US FDA to approve our new facility, new R&D center at Panoli. So taking all those into consideration, what can be a reasonable expectation for this segment, the CMO, generic CMO projects?
As of now, our CMO and CDMO projects are for the dosage forms. They are, as of now, not of API, number one. Number two, yes, we will look at the CDMO proposals. We are talking to a few people, including those in US, for doing API also in a CDMO format. But yes, it will take time. Even Panoli plant, we will put it up for US FDA approval. But as you rightly said, it will take 3 to 4 years. Meanwhile, our heart plant is already approved by the US FDA. So such projects, we will take them at heart. But this is a segment which we will be continuing to pursue.
Yeah, understood. So going ahead into F26 and F27, is it, given all the external factors remaining as is and nothing changes, Are we expecting a single digit growth in top line?
I think next year would, if I take 2 years, because Panoli will be stabilizing next year, I mean, we'll be doing about 40% of capacity utilization next year, and second year about 80%. So I see about first year growth of 10 to 12% and second year growth of about 20% in API segment.
And overall consolidated population API put together for F26 and F27?
I think keeping in mind our pipeline of CMO and CDMO plus API, I think it would be fair to say, won't be able to put exact numbers, but it would be in the range of 10 to 20% on consolidated basis. More towards 15%, I guess.
For F26,
yeah. About 15% and 27, about 20% consolidated.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all I had. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, previously we had some aspirational target of reaching 1300 crores of revenue in 4 years. So, are we still sticking to that?
It's a function of what we are looking at in terms of next 4 years, which 4 years period you are
referring? I'm sorry, I have not understood clearly. Can you repeat, please? When you say 4 years, from when? From current year or?
This was a 16, like you can say 3.5 years from now.
I think given scenarios, let's keeping current prices in mind, I would say about 1200 around there. But any upward movement will give you a better top line.
Yes, yes. And by then will be settle around the 20% EBITDA margin.
How much?
By then, like by 4 years, will be settle around 20% EBITDA margin.
It's difficult to predict, but definitely it will be about 17 to 20%.
All right, got the answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question to the management, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Julie Mehta from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. So, sir, actually, I missed the commentary and I didn't get the data of the number of CMO projects undergoing. So, can you please clarify the same again?
Sure. So, we are already under completion, near completion, for 15 dosage forms under the contract manufacturing CMO and development and manufacturing about 11 dosage forms. They are either completed or near completion. And we have taken up further 8 dosage form projects for CMO, which is called site transfer, and CDMO, which is drug development and then manufacturing, for about 10 dosage forms.
Okay. Okay, that's really helpful. And so my second question would be around Pengi. So can you throw some light on the current pricing situation of Pengi and what is the percentage of Pengi that we need to, you know, that you actually outsource from China?
Ma'am, Pengi we do not use at all. Penicillin is a raw material for amoxicillin. And we do buy amoxicillin both from China and India for our amoxicillin capsules. And Sanjay mentioned earlier, we are focusing and moving more towards the combination of amoxicillin with clavulanic acid, which has a higher value and is a safer in terms of pricing. Competition is lesser because the product is very sensitive and tricky. So they are not like 100 players as is in amoxicillin. But from, as far as the API business is concerned, penicillin prices or relevance is not there at all.
Okay. Okay, sir. And so my last question for now would be with respect to diversification. So are you looking at doing any work around GLP-1 opportunity?
Sorry, I didn't understand. Which, can you please clarify? I didn't hear you.
Sir, are you looking at doing any work around GLP-1 opportunity? For drugs like semaglutide or Ozempic?
At least 100 companies in India are working on semaglutide. Yes, I'll be honest, we are also looking at it. But whatever the latest reports we got on semaglutide, the oral semaglutide is not really working well. And India as a country, injectable is not a great market where people will take semaglutide for the obesity. So we have to still see. Lilly has also launched its molecule. It's under patent. See, the only product which is going off patent now is semaglutide. The other are all still in patent. So we have to wait and watch. We'll be seeing the market, the side effect profile and continuing to monitor. It's a very interesting market. But when you look at the large masses in India, obesity is frankly, don't mind, is restricted more to the upper class. So we have to look at all angles, and every company wants to enter semaglutide. But we feel that the later molecules, which will be in the tablet forms, will be more interesting. We are keeping a watch on it.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Mr. Somani, Aurobindo and other Indian companies are attempting import substitution for KSMs coming into India from China. But there are issues in KSM yield and quality, which is common in early stage as plants take time to stabilize, and all of that Aurobindo is also struggling. Have you got an update on KSM and backward integration at a country level for India as a whole, and how will Coperan be affected due to the delay and the challenges that some of these Indian companies are facing in the KSM strategy to try and de-risk away from China?
Sir, I already clarified that. I'll repeat for your understanding. So when we talk of KSM, there are two categories. KSM which are purely synthetic synthesis-based process, and KSM which are based on fermentation. You just referred to Aurobindo. You are right, Aurobindo has already put up a plant for penicillin. And to the best of my knowledge, they have already started trial production, and they will succeed for sure. Now the question comes whether their cost will be lower or the same or slightly higher than China. Even if it is slightly higher than China, for the domestic market, the government has already assured that such basic KSMs, which will be made from fermentation in India to make us self-dependent, the government will protect us. So that's where we stand as far as fermentation-based KSMs are concerned. Coming to the synthesis one, we are seeing almost every quarter new companies coming up with synthesis at prices as competitive as China. So I think in the next 3 years, synthesis-based KSMs, you will see a lot from India. To that extent, Chinese will not be a threat. But having said that, the fact remains that antibiotics are based on fermentation, based their raw materials, whether it is penicillins or cephalosporins or others, tetracycline, erythromycin, these are all fermentation-based. India still has a long way to go. Maybe it will be more like a 5-7 year time cycle. But knowing that the government is very keen to start fermentation of all products, it may take time, but it will happen. I hope I have answered your question.
Yes.
As far as cases are concerned, my observation is that since India is going very aggressive on development of KSMs, whether synthetic or fermentation, we are seeing a trend where China is dropping prices of KSMs. I mean, till now India is catching up with whatever they are dropping. They are trying to match that in terms of their costs, etc. So overall, I look at it as the next battlefield will shift from APIs to KSMs. And on a longer term basis, India developing its own capabilities, etc., will give an insurance that in future, China on whims and fancies don't raise prices of KSMs. So it will give a more stable kind of an environment, and sudden jerks will be avoided. That's what I feel over a period of 2 to 3 years.
Right. So if I could summarize what I gleaned from Mr. Somani's comments and your comments, Mr. Doshi, regarding the fermentation case, the minimum support price from the government of India or some form of anti-dumping duty will be levied to keep China, to keep India self-reliant.
Right.
You're right, sir.
Understood. That's helpful. And one more question regarding, so we operate in multiple countries. We have got multiple currency exposure. What is our policy on a country by country level or overall, please? Thank you.
Sir, we operate primarily 98% on dollar only. Only 2% would be between euro and pound. There is no fourth currency. Only these three currencies, of which 98% is in dollars.
Okay. So that and do we dollar?
Sorry?
As a policy, we keep certain percentage of dollar hedged by forward booking and some by foreign exchange packing credit. So about 60% is always hedged, irrespective of where it is moving.
Okay, which means that there will be periodic losses due to Forex and there will be periodic gains due to Forex in hitting our P&L.
Right.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you so much for answering all my questions. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Patole from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, so quickly, taking from the previous participant, on the CMO and the CDMO project, can you give more highlights, like where are we in the stage? Have we supplied quantities for qualification, whether this would be supplied from Mahad or Panoli, and what are the broader timelines like? And would this be from the existing set of products or their new set of products they want to site transfer or tech transfer? Can you throw more light on that?
See, right now, as I said earlier, contract manufacturing projects are mainly or only in the formulation segment, which is our plant at Khopoli. Yes, out of the 15 projects which we have some projects where we have started work.
We have started
supplying. And CDMO also we have done for the UK and the Canadian markets. We have done the product development, we have done the bioequivalents, and we have filed the dossiers, etc. And other 8 projects, which is as of date, is an area where we grow. These again are for the regulated market, including one.
It's like this, that CMO and CDMO projects of 26 projects, all including, which are near completion or completed. Commercial supplies are starting in this quarter, all the projects, if I say, by first quarter of next year, we will be in commercial supply state. We would be supplying commercially. As far as projects which are under implementation, about 18 projects both put together, we say commercialization between 12 to 24 years, in stages. Am I clear? Hello.
Just to get more clarity, these are the projects that we'll start getting the benefit from Q1 FY26.
Yeah.
These are from the existing therapeutic areas that we are expert in, or is it something else? Throw some more light on that. Or these are specific projects which the client has?
So it's a mix of both. There are certain projects where we are not making the API, like solifenacin. I'm just giving as one project with a product with an idea, or a tamoxifen where we don't do the API. Because what happens when you go to a customer for a CDMO project or a CMO project, he's not going to be very chooser. Okay, I'll give you one product or two products. Then we look at a basket of products. It's a mix of all. It can be an antibiotic, definitely antibiotics are there. There are some diabetic or cardiac or pain management or gastrointestinal. There are various segments. And in formulations, we don't have that much limitations that we have to do only one category or one therapeutic group. So as such also, we make a whole range of products. Pain management, gastrointestinal, CNS, antibiotics, cardiac, diabetes, different types of products. So not a challenge. It's just the time it takes. That's all.
Okay, that's helpful. And I mean, I believe that these projects would come at a higher margin than our consolidated margin currently. Would that be a correct understanding?
I think some are in line, some are a little higher. But the more important point as the way we are looking at as far as this line of business is concerned is a consistent, regular business environment at a decent margin with a volume.
So, and this would be then a pretty medium to long-term contract?
Yes.
Or these are just short-term, 6 to.
No, no. I mean, CMO, CDMO, nobody does for short-term. I mean, you spend 1.5 years to develop that product, the site transfer, etc. In some cases, yes, 3 years. So these are long-term regulated markets where the partnership is much broader and long-term with the customer. That's why I'm saying these are businesses which is not a spot business, which you can plan for a year, regular business with decent margins and good margins. So this changes the profile from what we are doing today.
Does that help us to reduce the quarterly volatility in our?
Absolutely. When you'll see regular quarterly businesses are there, so you'll have less of volatility in terms of volumes going and up and down in one quarter and another quarter very high. So it gives you more consistency as far as your predictability is concerned, more consistency for you to have higher operational efficiencies, plan your productions smoothly. It's an ideal way for a company to grow. And that's the mix which we are trying to increase. I mean, we see 2 years from now, more than 60% business should come from CMO and CDMO.
Okay. So we are targeting around more than 50% to come from CMO, CDMO.
Yeah, 2 years, from 2 years from now. So I mean, gradually we are building 20-25% next year, 30-35%, and then 50% around.
And morally, I mean, where, I mean, just to get into deep dive into this, I mean, do we like then take this to, I mean, do we need extra CapEx to cater to the demand that we have signed, or as of now, Panoli and Mahad would be sufficient?
These are formulations, so nothing to do with API. I mean, don't confuse. These are purely formulation businesses. And
okay.
We have quite automated our packing lines, etc., increased our capacities, keeping these in mind, and certain things are on its way. So we are well prepared for meeting the demand. And we are going a little more aggressive on CMO and CDMO projects. We would be signing further CMO CDMO projects in next 6 months.
Okay.
So as I said, our objective is to have 50% or more from this line of
the line. Okay. That's helpful. And can you just give me broad? I mean, what was the CapEx till 9 months now this year? And how much was that for Panoli? I mean, if you can share.
Panoli, we have not capitalized. I mean, Panoli, almost all capex has been completed. Barring some small here and there, and we are expecting commercial production to start in Q1, beginning of Q1 rather. Trial production, validation batches, etc., are going on.
Okay.
In Kapoli,
you have all the plant clearance for Panoli, right? I think
it's clearances have come except for commercial production. I mean commercial sale. So production.
But for commercial sale, will we need an inspection? I mean,
they have certain certification which they have to issue, and environmental clearances, etc., everything has come. So we have started our production for validation and trial and other things. And expect, I mean, beginning of Q1 to start commercial production out there.
Okay, great. And can you help me with the CapEx number for 9 months?
I won't have readily available, but in formulation, it's not very, very high. It's normal CapEx of about 10 crores or so in formulations for 9 months.
Okay, sir, and just to get a data point from your presentation, the net debt has gone up. So, I mean, can you just give us few numbers? What was the debt as of on the books, gross debt and gross cash? And how do we plan? What are the plans for debt repayment? I mean, the debt
has let me tell you one thing. Our debt is basically working capital debt, except one term loan which is there. We have not taken any term loan thereafter. It was taken for Panoli 4 years back. That would be now about, let's say, 10, 12 crores or so. Rest is working capital which keeps moving. I mean, on a particular cycle where you have a larger inventory of Penam or something, that keeps little moving. Otherwise, it is in line. I mean, on an average basis, you see we have not increased our debt at all. About 30% working capital limits are not used by us.
Okay, that's great. And just lastly, taking from the previous participant as well, I mean, for the price erosion that we saw in Tokyo with Chinese competition entering or taking prices lower, and now we are seeing some kind of stabilization, but volumes have increased, that is what you said, right? So have we lost any market share in this process, or is it just the pricing that has gone down and that's impact?
I'll tell you, we have increased our market share.
In Meropenem especially, we have focused and increased our market share.
Okay. And sir, how much would be the contribution of Meropenem to total? Any broad, I mean, directionally also you can tell us.
The total market we are talking or
Meropenem to total, your total.
Our Meropenem market is about 100 tons.
I mean, how much does Meropenem contribute to your total?
We would be doing about 20 tons. This year,
as compared to maybe 12 or 13 tons last year, 14 tons.
Okay, I mean, roughly it would be 20%, I mean.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, great. I mean, that's it from our side. If I have any, and just one more lastly, you announced an ESOP recently, right? So can you, like, if you have any details, can provide the details on the ESOP that you announced?
Last year we announced ESOP that we have given to our employees, and some of them have exercised their options, and still they have a time. I mean, it's a 3 year thing where we have given about 3,40,000, 375,000 shares in ESOP at a rate of 179, and 40% of that is exercisable after 1 year, which is from September 24 till August 25, we can exercise any point of time. 30% would be September 25 onwards, and 30% would be September 26 onwards.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for answering all my questions, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan Sheda, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to ask, you mentioned that our margins would directionally start going upwards in the next couple of years, 2-3 years, 4 years time frame. Could you help me understand, what would be the main levers that will help us to improve our margins, and what could be the risks to these levers?
As we said, we will be targeting in the next 3 years to grow to a level of around 1,200 crores, which means there will be new products, there'll be increase in existing products, so we get the benefit of economies of scale. Overheads as a percentage go down. Secondly, when we are doing the CDMO, CMO projects in the formulations, they have a better margin. As we move on, we also look at cost reduction because volumes give us a chance to improve our efficiency. These would be the prime pillars.
I'll put it this way, that products as far as API are concerned, apart from whatever new products we are launching or in the phase of launching, the current portfolio where the products which are susceptible to Chinese competition or volatile pricing, which are primarily azithromycin, you can say, or meropenem, or some of the ticagrelor, etc. These products, I mean, these are almost at their bottom. I mean, barring another  3%-5%, one can say. In the cycle of a product for last 2 years, meropenem is on a downward spiral and has gone to a situation where Chinese are not recovering their costs also. Further downside on these is much limited compared to the upside potential of those. Plus, the new products like meropenem or other products which are giving good margins and they are growing, they are less susceptible to price competition, and we are expanding like capacity of meropenem also. We are looking at a product basket where price volatility is very high. That is at this point on the last leg of its downward spiral. Product which are more stable, they are growing and we are expanding also in those capacities. Our market share is improving. Our products are well received. Plus, on formulation side, as I said, CMO, CDMO, more consistent and decent margins, coupled with more sweating of our assets. That will give better EBITDA margins, and we are quite sure about it.
Anything that you see
That's what I tried to explain. These are always there, but the kind of products which I said, foreseeably we don't see any risk, and the products where risks were there, as I said, they are already on last leg of there, so I don't see further much more risk on those things.
Okay. Thank you for that response. The other question I have is on the CapEx. Now in the next, like, you know, say, 3-4 years, could you share what could be the expected CapEx amount that we may need to incur in any of our plants and sites?
I mean, for next 2 years, I can't say about 4 years, 5 years at this point of time, but next 1 to 2 years, I don't see very large CapEx except if we are putting up a vial filling for PenApps. Other than that, I don't see a very large CapEx. We have enough capacities already created, and that's how it is.
Okay. It means like in the last 2 years, that is FY 2023 and 2024, we had roughly about 60 odd in that range, give or take plus minus something, 60 odd crores for these 2 years we've done, 61 and 57 crores respectively. These amount of CapEx, that would significantly come down in the next couple of years is what you're indicating.
At least next 2 years, I would say.
Next 2 years, okay. But then there could be some upward, there could be, I'm saying, of course,
It depends on, I mean, certain things are under work. If those projects fructify and as expected demand increases, then we'll have to put up a dedicated plant for them. Otherwise, I mean, we have for next two to three years, productive expected we have enough capacities for that.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for your responses. Those are my questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
I would just like to thank everybody, and as I said earlier, we are obliged that you have joined us and take an interest in Copran, especially on a Saturday, and we look forward to more growth and better profitability. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of B&K Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.